com.
Welcome to Wednesday. It's 10 minutes after 5 on this, your favorite morning show. I don't like to start the program with something heavy, but it was either yesterday or the day before. We were listening to some commentary about the farm bill that the Senate passed it yesterday, right?
They did.
Okay. So the Senate passed the farm bill. I heard a commentary, one individual, saying, well, they didn't get what they wanted, and we didn't get what we wanted, and so that's the way it works. I guess that's what we're going to have to deal with. Does that seem right to you?
It's called compromise.
Yeah, but I understand that. But
you don't get everything you want in a bill that big.
Well,
Ron Johnson got cuts to the food stamp program, but not enough, apparently, and that's why he voted against it.
Right. Okay, but this is what I'm talking about, is the political process is overburdened. It has become so incredibly large and so encumbered and so confusing that getting something very important done, nobody's happy with it. Why should we allow our political process to end up in abject misery for everybody?
Would you prefer to have both sides somewhat unhappy with something, or one side extremely happy and the other side really pissed?
Conservatives happy.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Liberals wallowing in pain.
I rested my case, yes.
Well, and here's the thing that I find interesting is that one of the people talking about the farm bill was saying that liberals were happy to the cuts in subsidy spending.
Because a lot of those subsidies went to huge agribusinesses,
yeah,
zillionaires who are, you know, not family farms and not, you know,
okay,
ma and pa kettle out there on the homestead.
So if that's the case, all right, if that is truly the case, I agree with that. If a company is profitable on their own and doing fine on their own, there should be no government subsidies. Absolutely not. Now, let's take that and take it another step. I want to talk to those same Democrats and say, now that we have established that you want to cut government funding to the farms that are doing fine on their own, and, of course, the debate would be, well, how do we establish what's doing fine? Oh, God. Anyway, now let's look at the Social Security program. If you have an individual who is doing fine on their own, then they don't get Social Security.
Except for the money that they've put in already.
I agree. Not only the
so
money.
So you're talking about means testing.
I'm not only that. I'm talking about the money they put in and a reasonable rate of return.
Okay.
And in our current environment, that's anywhere between 3 and 6 years. You will get a payment for 3 to 6 years. You get back what you put in plus a rate of return. The government says, thank you for letting us use your money. Of course, you would have been able
to use it much better. And I'll get your goat. What is a reasonable?
Yeah,
Doing well.
Well, that's subjective,
what is
of course.
A reasonable means testing?
And that's one of the things that you would really have to chew on quite well. It would have to be a sliding scale.
Especially with our lifespan extending and we're living a lot longer.
I agree with you. An individual who is receiving on their own, now I'm just throwing numbers out, and I would be willing to look at analysis much, much better. But an individual who is earning, depending on where they live, okay, but is earning $100,000 a year or more, should not be receiving any kind of government subsidy. None. Because if you can't, again, keep in mind it's subjective and you have to take into consideration a lot of factors. If they are living in San Francisco, $100,000 a year is not a substantial income. New York City, not a substantial income. And so all things would have to be factored in. But if you are...
Well, you can move to Bedford-Stuyvesant instead of living in the Trump Tower,
well,
I suppose.
Yeah,
I'd like to see Donald Trump move down to Bed-Stuy.
Listen, buddy, you're spending, what are you looking at, $2,500, $3,000 a month in Manhattan for a room not much bigger than this studio.
Chris, don't they do that sometimes with the landlords who don't fix up their properties? They make them go and live in them as part of the punishment?
There was one judge who said that once. You know what? Seth is right about the farm bill. Now, this is how government stinks.
Yeah.
The farm bill is the product of 3 years of work. The farm bill was supposed to expire at the end of 2012, and Congress couldn't get its act together, so they extended what we had through all of 2013 to finally get to now.
It's an example of government failure on a lot of lot of different levels.
One of the things that we have in there, because corporate farms are not supposed to qualify for welfare, but they have this thing where a farm can be divided up and you name an individual manager of that farm, and that's the person, not the corporation, that's the person who applies for the subsidy.
Okay.
So you can take a large farm and say, these 200 acres belong to Seth. These 150 acres belong to Tom. These 200 acres belong to me. And all three of us apply for subsidies. So the bill is that you could triple and quadruple and quintuple dip into the program.
Well, then you have to adjust the law.
And after 3 years of debate, they didn't get around to taking that out. It's still in there.
And again,
government at work.
And this is going to make Tom happy because one of the main reasons that didn't come out is the influence that the large corporations have on government.
There's no question.
Absolutely.
The lobbyists got that to stay in because of some large campaign checks that they wrote to the lawmakers.
Or influence of saying, you want to run for election next time? You want the money next time to run for
election? Right.
I understand that. These are all examples, and this is not a Republican or Democrat issue. It's not a conservative or liberal issue. It is an American issue. This is where our politics has become corrupt and broken. And we, you and I, and everyone listening, we got to do something about this. That was my blog last night, by the way.
What can we do? Besides, you know, the quote-unquote vote them all out. Well, yeah, that's easier said than done.
One of the things that absolutely has to be put forth is term limits.
The people that'll do the term limits are the ones that are going to be getting rid of their own jobs.
Okay. If the American people got together enough and
marched
raised,
on Washington with pitchforks and torches,
made enough of a demand for it, it would get done. Because then you will find some brave individuals that support term limits in Congress that would be willing to fall on that sword. Listen,
I'm skeptical.
Well, I, for one, if I were in Congress, I would, one of the very first things I would do is introduce legislation for term limits. And I would do it over and over and over until people would like, oh, Lord.
And the Republican whip would take you back into the closet and does what he does
and he
well.
And he would come out with a lot of blood and bruises and scars, and he may kick my
butt. Mr. Mila goes to Washington.
You betcha, man. I believe there are enough of us in this world that have that kind of dedication to what's right. I just do. All right, let's
just remember the last time that the morning host on this program ran for office.
Oh, no. Shush, that's not nice.
Rush, Sean, and the Wisconsin Morning News. AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.